Well, here we are for our culture segment, and I'm very privileged to have Kate McCord with me. And actually, Kate, as it says on the front cover of the book we're going to talk about, Kate McCord is a protective pseudonym, and you'll understand why when we get into the topic here. But Kate, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Well, great to have you. So folks, Kate, for a long time, just about a decade after the fall of the Taliban, was in Afghanistan. She was a humanitarian aid worker. She had to evacuate Afghanistan and is now a mentor and a consultant, really, to other workers who serve in that area. And we're going to talk about her story. She outlines a piece of her story in her book, Why God Calls Us to Dangerous Places. And lest you think this is just a book about, you know, oh my word, God's going to call me to Afghanistan, it's actually much more than that. It's really God just asking us to do things where truly the gospel is magnified because of our own insufficiency and our own, you know, we were just talking previously in our segment about how we bargain with God, and it's like, okay, God, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do this, or I'm not equipped for this, and we never feel like we're fully equipped for the stuff we head into. So Kate, your story is certainly an example of that, and I think it's telling because you actually left the corporate world. So it's not like you were sitting around twiddling your thumbs like you didn't have anything to do or had any direction, but you actually left a corporate job where you had responsibility, you had a lot going on, to enter full-time work with the Afghan people. Can you just briefly tell us what prompted that decision and any wrestling that went on in the process?
Oh, yeah, I'm laughing. I not only left the corporate world, but I left a Saab 900 convertible, to which I was quite attached.
You sure you couldn't take it with you? I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a career move.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, you know, God so often, right, calls our attention to places, and or to people, or to a particular issue. And for me, it just came through reading a book. I picked up a book. It wasn't a Christian book. And it was about Afghanistan in November of 2000. And I thought, wow, why is God calling my attention to this mess? It certainly doesn't mean for me to go there. And it was that winter of 2000-2001. I just thought, well, okay, I seem to be really focused on this country and the people, and I guess that means I should pray, because clearly I'm not meant to go. And I did. I prayed. I prayed for the people. I prayed for the situation. And I wondered, you know, it was so often, right, we sort of put our fingertips on a door and we kind of press on it. And we say, what's happening here? And that's really what it felt like that winter. And throughout that season, I just sensed God saying, I just want you to pay attention. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. Pray. And as I did that, my heart really became connected to Afghanistan, to the people of Afghanistan. And then when 9/11 happened, I knew. I knew when the second tower went down, oh, this is, Afghanistan is involved in this. The doors are going to open, and I'm going to go. I'm going. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going. Then everybody thought I was crazy. It took a little while, but I got there. Yeah.
Yeah. And you did, I mean, you didn't just sit somewhere in a tower over there and, like, you know, attempt to talk at people. I mean, you learned the language. You became very involved in the lives of locals there. Can you give an example of how, I mean, because clearly, you know, like you said, you had people over here that were wondering whether or not you really should be there. Where's a time where you felt your faith tested, you know, even early on probably over there, but found that God was there and he confirmed your decision?
Yeah, all the time. The first time I went to Afghanistan, I actually went into the country through Tajikistan. Hmm. And that meant flying into this city called Dushanbe. It used to be a Russian country. Most people don't know where it is. We drove down to the Afghan border, and then we took a little boat across the river into Afghanistan. And I remember we were driving through the mountains of Tajikistan, and there's, you know, uniformed soldiers in old Russian uniforms, and thinking, this isn't it, man. This isn't where I want to be, but it's okay to be here. You know, it's not bad. And just a lot of ambivalence. And then we got to the border, and we loaded our gear into a boat, literally. And on the other side of the river, there were men with Kalashnikovs, that's an assault rifle, and we see them on the news now. They wear clothes that look kind of like pajamas, and they were all glaring at me. And as the boat neared the shore, I just felt this excitement rising within me, and I just knew this is it. This is where I belong. And we jumped into, after we went through passport control, which was, for me, standing in the mud while other men carried my passport and stamped it and argued and, you know, then put me in a Jeep because I'm, you know, a woman and couldn't go in. So we get in this Russian Jeep and we're literally driving over donkey trails, and I felt such a sense of excitement. We would pass through these little villages and women in blue burkas would disappear through gates. Lord, I want to go. I want to go into their homes. And I think for me that was a real confirmation. This is it. This is what I'm calling you to in this season of your life.
Wow. So when you have, getting back to, you know, the whole idea of having family here in the States, having counselors, mentors, church family, all of that, and they're very leery of, you know, how in the world could you go? And I know there are probably some in our audience that are feeling called specifically maybe to the mission field or something else, and their families are set against it. How do you really know, Kate, whether to, it's time to go, or whether you're just running ahead recklessly? I mean, because a dangerous decision is not one to be made lightly. How do you take into account the counsel of others? And when do you know that you just need to do what you feel God's calling you to do?
Yeah, it's a tough space because everyone in our lives is struggling with their own emotions. I remember telling my closest friend, who had been friends for 30 years, and I said, God's calling me to Afghanistan. And she said, how do you know? And I kind of laid it out for her. And at the end, I said, I mean, basically, he told me. And she said, well, go ask again, because you're clearly not listening. And what happened is that we walked into a situation. I went to pick up some glasses, and I wanted her to help me pick the glasses out. And the frames, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman clerk who was helping us with the frame. She had an accent, and I said, well, where are you from? And she said, you don't really want to know. And I said, yeah, I really do. And she said, well, actually, I'm from Kabul, Afghanistan. And my longtime friend just burst out crying, ran from the building. But here's what happened for her. God confirmed for her that he was calling her closest friend in the world to Afghanistan. And that's a thing we look for. We look for the people who are our counselors, and we choose our counselors. We choose the people we listen to based on, are they walking with God? Mm-hmm. Are they leaning into God? And we ask God to speak to them as well and to speak to us through them. There are times when people, there's a young man in country who was in country, I think he's still there, whose mother absolutely didn't want him to go, but she didn't know God. And so for her, it was a very natural, terrifying fear. And he had to look at that and say, yeah, but God is calling me to this place, and I'm going to pray that through this journey you draw closer to God, that you meet God, but I'm not going to stop the journey because you can't find God yet. Mm-hmm. Kind of see that balance?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. So speaking of which, there are some of us, you know, who are currently stateside or whatever, we're in first world countries. The book actually weaves together a number of amazing stories, really what it's like for those who are thousands of miles away from us. But what would you say to the people who are praying for missionaries? How can we actively pray and understand kind of the fears that are in our own hearts, but to really pray boldly on behalf of those who are on the front lines in countries such as these?
Yeah, I think that we pray for other people, everything that we desire and have received ourselves. So, for example, if I'm here in the States now, and we're having a beautiful weather right now, and so I would pray for my missionary friends that they enjoy the grace of a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. Everything that we've experienced, if I am praying about something in Scripture and I sense anew, hey, God speaking to me, wow, look at this gift of God's grace that I've received, I pray that for my missionary friends. And I pray it also for the people my missionary friends are ministering to, that they would receive everything that I'm receiving. And then everything that I desire, I want to grow closer to God, so I pray for my missionary friends to grow closer to God. I want patience today because I'm dealing with a difficult interpersonal situation. I pray for my missionary friends to have that kind of patience. I think that's how we keep it real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because you actually, you know, I think it's very easy for us to put missionaries on pedestals. And as a result, it's hard for them to even feel like they're part of a community where they can be real and share their burdens. And I think you even say in the book, we're not fearless Navy SEALs, spiritual giants, or sinless saints. We're simply followers of the Jesus we love. Which I think is true for any of us, you know, and it's hard, I think, for missionaries at times to feel, you know, like they are part of a larger Christian community, because there are some of us, you know, it'll be like, oh, yeah, well, Christians in the States or in Canada or whatever, they're just sitting around watching TV. But it's kind of like we're all part of the body of Christ and we're doing different things in different ways, which actually brings me to another question. How, you know, so that people aren't, not everyone is going to go to Afghanistan. Not everyone's going to write a book where they actually have to use a pseudonym. Not everyone's going to have to evacuate their own home and leave the place that they've loved. But what all of us are called in some way, Kate, to do dangerous things and go dangerous places on behalf of the Lord, whether it's just standing up and stating something related to our faith, whether it's stepping out boldly to take a new job or do something. What is a way that believers can apply kind of what you learned overseas to just everyday situations that maybe they feel they don't have enough faith for?
Yeah, I think the same principles apply, whether we're walking in an overtly dangerous place or whether we're walking here in America. And that, you know, the scripture, it says, turn your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to really focus on Christ, but not just in a, that's not just a theoretical or a great principle to teach from on Sunday morning, but in the moment by moment, Lord, what are you inviting me into in this moment? Mm-hmm. Are you inviting me to take this job? And then to recognize what's hindering me, what's my that kind of puts my guts in an uproar, and is that something I should give to you and press forward, or is that an indication that you're not calling me to this? It's all a walk with Jesus in the moment-to-moment decisions of our lives, and I think that's true whether we're walking where the rockets are going off, or whether we're walking where some of the greatest dangers are things like distractions and marketing, can steal our joy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it can be equally tricky. I mean, here you know, felt absolutely called to Afghanistan, the Afghan people, and now you're back home in the States. How has that transition been, and how do you reconcile, you know, what God's calling you to do now in your new situation, knowing, I think it's easy for a lot of folks to feel like, oh, okay, well, if I'm on the front lines, I'm going to be useful and God's going to meet me. But now you have to do that in a new way. What does that transition look like for you?
Yeah, one of the fears when we come out of an intense ministry situation is that, hey, am I going to be able to find God where I am? And often that means really pressing into the presence of God in the places where we are, and it does look different. You know, I'm not in danger of my life personally, usually, while I'm here in America, and so I don't have that kind of desperation. But what I still have beneath it all is a hunger to know Christ's presence and to find his invitation and walk in it. If I can get the voices of other people out of my head, And what I mean is, you know, it's the Christian world that tells me that walking in Afghanistan is somehow more important than walking with my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my spouse in America in a way that honors God, and that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
So we are invited to walk really close with Jesus in wherever we are, in the workplace, in our life situations, amongst our friends. And that's the only place where we belong. There's no, you know, there's no ranking in heaven that says, well, yeah, Billy Graham, because he's preached to millions, he has a higher rank than, you know, a mom of a small child who is sharing God's love as she cares for her child. It just doesn't work that way in the kingdom. If we can get those voices out and just focus on what is God calling me to, inviting me to today, and how can I walk faithfully in that?
Yeah. So in light of that, what would you say is something that you have learned specifically through being pushed beyond your comfort zone that you probably wouldn't have learned had you not chosen to be obedient in this?
Oh, Christ is enough. Hmm. You know, before I went to Afghanistan, I would stand in the sanctuary and sing and raise my hands, and I loved to worship out loud. And I remember we sang this song, Blessed Be Your Name, mm-hmm. when I'm walking in the desert place. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me. And I sang that with as much of my heart as I could before I left America. But then when I went into a very difficult place it was a desert place where there were tremendous difficulties, where sometimes I worshipped through tears, I think I really came to terms with Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough even when I can't see my way through these very dark situations. Jesus is enough. And that is the greatest gift that I've brought with me.
Yeah. So what would you say, have you been talking to God about what's next? I mean, I know you're very involved right now in encouraging others, in sharing your experiences, sharing your story. Do you dare to think 1 year, 5 years ahead of now, or are you just kind of waiting for that next thing? What does it look like for you?
Yeah, I love that question. I can remember when I was in corporate and people would say, well, what's your five-year plan? And I would come up with an answer, but inside I would think, my five-year plan is to still be asking God what's up next and trusting him for it. I think that for me personally, I step back. Every morning I spend time with Jesus, and I'm asking about the day. What am I working on today? Usually every 2 or 3 months, I retreat. I just go away and separate myself from my day-to-day life and ask God again, what is in this season of my life? What is it that you want me to be walking into? And that's the piece I want to be faithful to. Mm-hmm. My experience of walking with God in Afghanistan is that he is the one who leads. And often he does it when my foot is in midair. And he shows me step down here or step down there, and that the grace for me is to walk in that kind of closeness, in that intimacy that allows me to hold loosely the things in the world. I'm willing. If God says, hey, I want you to go to Syria, I'm willing. I want to be only where God wants me to be in each season, and that's what I'm asking for as each season passes.
Yeah, well, those are great thoughts. Kate, thank you so much for just even scratching the surface on this topic, born out of your own experience, and folks to really get the full picture and understand the stories behind what we've been talking about today. The book is Why God Calls Us to Dangerous Places. I've been talking with Kate McCord. And so, Kate, thank you so much for being an encouragement to our audience and showing that God is faithful in the midst of what he's calling us to do. It's really awesome.
Hey, it's fun to talk to you. Thanks so much.